This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome again to A Juz A Day. Today we are in the 28th Juz of the Quran. This is now us getting to the end of our study. And subhanAllah, that is always a bittersweet moment. It is sweet because alhamdulillah, that's something we have completed. And inshallah, all of you have been here and you take the time out. Give me all the attention that you have to listen and learn. And that really means the world to me. This is a beautiful thing that we're nearing the end. So it's sweet for that reason. It's bitter from the sense that, you know, we're going to be finishing up the study and Ramadan. And then this beautiful, meeting that we have, this virtual meeting is going to come to an end. But inshallah, it's not going to be coming to an end in an absolute way. We are going to continue something after Ramadan, inshallah. I'm sharing with you that survey that I had shared for a couple of days, and I'll continue sharing until the end. And please do highlight your preference of what we should study in your time for when we should study that, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll do it in the same way where we are virtually on Zoom. And even when we do have something on in person, whenever Allah allows us to be back in the masjid, we will still have an online option available, inshallah, for you all. So this is that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for your participation and your feedback, inshallah. I really appreciate it. With that said, let's get started today with the 28 juz. The 28 juz is actually one of the most unique juz of the Quran. Why do I say it's one of the most unique juz of the Quran? Because it is comprised entirely of Madinan surahs. Okay, it has surah number 58, surah Mujadila, surah 59, surah Hashab, surah 60, surah Mumtahina, 61, Saf, 62, Jumu'ah, 63, Munafiqun, 64, At-Taghabun, 65, At-Talaq, and 66, At-Tahrim. 9 surahs that are all Medinan era revelation, meaning the Prophet ﷺ had left Mecca and went to Medina, 9 of them, and all of them are in this one juz. In fact, if you go back a surah and you add the 57th surah to this, the 57th surah is Surah Hadid, which was in the previous juz. We didn't really get a time yesterday to cover that. That makes it 10 straight surahs that are all Madinan era surahs. This is the only time in the Quran this happens. You know, you have in the beginning of the Quran, they have a lot of Madinan surahs that Surah Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Ma'idah, the 2, 3, 4, 5. Those surahs, of course, they are make up the bulk of the beginning of the Quran, of course. But they are, as you can see, there's 4 of them, right? Here you have 10 of them in a row. Of course, they're shorter, and that's why they're all condensed into one juz. Those are 4, but longer. They span over 7 juz, but this is a unique part of the Quran because you have so many Madinan surahs in a row. And with Madinan surahs, there are some common themes. Number one, there is going to be a lot of times where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe. Because the primary audience is the believers of Medina, those who have accepted the Prophet ﷺ as the Prophet, those who are the Sahaba who are trying to live faithfully. Okay, and there's a lot of lessons to learn from that. Number two is there's a lot of character flaws that are discussed, mistakes that people make, the Sahaba particularly that they make. Allah discusses those and addresses those mistakes. So I'm going to focus on that aspect a bit today as well. How this juz highlights the mistakes the Sahaba made. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects them. There's a lot to learn from that. There's a lot to learn in the aspect of, human beings are bound to make mistakes, even the best of the human beings, okay? So that's acceptable. That's not a problem. The problem is to say, you know what? I am, I don't want to admit my mistake. I'm going to actually double down. That's the problem. The right attitude is accepting the mistake, and then rectifying it. And also how you speak about someone's mistake is just as critical as, you know, rectifying it. Because if you speak about it in a manner that puts them on the defensive, then perhaps they won't be able to improve. So that's the second thing. The third thing is I'm going to keep highlight, because this is a long juz and it has all these surahs. I'm going to highlight roughly three aspects: how faith is mentioned, how family is mentioned, and how community is mentioned. Okay, faith, family, and community. I'm going to mention these and just highlight the ayat that, you know, consistently speak about these three topics in this juz. Okay, I actually wanted to share with you one very beautiful part of the Quran from the previous juz. I want to start with that and then we'll proceed. I want you to notice this surah. So we're going to start with surah 57 first. This is in the 27 juz at the very end, but I'm doing this for a purpose. Look at this ayah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies God. He is the mighty and wise. Okay, this is surah 57. Now I want you to look at surah number 59. Surah 59 says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and on earth glorifies God. He is the almighty and the wise. Okay, then I want you to look at surah number 60. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ, sorry, 61, excuse me. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies God. He is the almighty and wise. Okay, this is surah 61, yes? Then let's look at surah number, where is it? 62. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Whatever is in the heavens and earth on the earth glorifies God, the sovereign Lord, the Holy One, the Mighty, the Wise. And finally, the last instance of this is surah number 64. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. All that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth extols the glory of God. To him belongs the kingdom and to him all praise is due. He has power over all things. These are five surahs: 57, Hadid; 59, Hashar; 61, As-Saff; 62, Jumu'ah; 64, At-Taghabun. They all begin with Sabbaha or Yusabbihu, glorifying the praise of Allah. And they are called, these surahs are called the Musabbihat, the surahs that begin by praising Allah mentioning His glory. Okay, and this is something you will notice in this part of the Quran. These five occur here in this juz. Okay, they don't occur in other parts of the Quran. In other parts of the Quran. Okay. Now, I also want to show you before we begin, because I want to just give you an overview of the whole juz, and then we'll get into the specific ayat. Okay. As I had told you, there's going to be lots of Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Correct. In fact, there are 15 instances of Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu in this juz. Right. You start with, look, surah number Mujadila. Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Okay. Here, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Here, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. All the way. It started at 76. Look, I'm going to go down to page number 9 here. All the way up to 80. All the way up to 90. 15 instances of Allah mentioning Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Okay? This is something that is very unique to this juz. You don't find this much repetition of Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu in other juz. As I mentioned, the reason for that is because someone made a mistake and Allah is correcting their mistake, and in it there's a lesson for us in their mistake. So that's a big overview of the juz. I want to mention a little bit of the beginning of Surah Hadid and a little bit of the end of the Surah Hadid, and then we'll transition into our next juz. It begins with that سبح لله, one of the مسبحات. له ملك السماوات والأرض. He has sovereign control over the heavens and the earth. He gives life, he brings death. He has power over all things. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. He is the first and the last. Meaning he has always been there. And when everyone dies, he will still be there. والظاهر والباطن. The outward, the inward. The one who is dominant. Right? He is, nothing is above him. Okay? الظاهر. Okay, and Baltan, he knows inner secrets. Nobody knows them like he does. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And that's why the surah ends, or the ayah ends, with his knowledge. He has knowledge of all things. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. It is he who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. These are 6 periods of time. And then ascended the throne. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. He's not part of his creation. He's now above his creation, above his throne. His creation is below him. But just because he's above his creation doesn't mean he doesn't have anything to do with him. In fact, he knows intricately his creation. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. He knows what enters the earth, the little seeds, the little animals. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. What comes out, the plants. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. What descends from the sky. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And what ascends to it. He knows it. What descends from the sky is rain. What descends from the sky is sunlight. What descends from the sky is our sustenance, right? That forms the basis of our sustenance. Okay? What ascends to it is people's actions. The spirit, the book of deeds are raised up. They ascend to the sky. So Allah knows. What descends from the sky, he knows it. He allows us to live and survive and thrive. And then what ascends is the actions. He will hold us accountable. He is with you wherever you are. He sees all that you do. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. This may be misunderstood by somebody to think that Allah is everywhere. Okay, but that will be a misunderstanding. This is going to be a Christian understanding. Unfortunately, this is how the Christians view certain aspects, certain types of Christians. I can't speak from everybody. And then this is also some of the misrepresented positions in Islam. They might think this way. They're like, hey, God's everywhere, right? But in fact, he's not. Here is the reason number one. He says he ascended the throne. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He clearly specifies that Allah has separated himself from the creation. We do not mix the creation with the creator. Sister Laura, I'll actually send you that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. The 15 times, I'll send that link to you, okay? Inshallah, okay? Just please remind me at the end. I'll actually keep this question so I don't forget. Okay, sorry. So number one, he mentions this. He has ascended the throne. He's not part of his creation. So clearly, he is above his creation. We don't mix the creator with the creation. The creation is weak. The creation is finite. The creation lives and dies. The creator, none of that applies to him. Okay? So that is number one. Number two, when he says he's with you wherever you are, right? There is another understanding of this, which is that he knows exactly what you are doing. Intricately, he knows you, and that's like him being with you. And that's why the ayah ends, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He sees what you do, right? That is the understanding. When he says he's with you, that means he is with you in the way he sees you, in the way he monitors your actions, in the way he supports you, but not physically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not right here next to me on this chair, right? This is bizarre, okay? He's not like that, okay? He is above his throne. He's above his creation. He does not mix with his creation, okay? He will be there on the day of judgment. Of course, we don't deny that. He will be there, and he does descend to the lowest part of the sky at the last part of the night to listen to people's dua, but that's in the manner that befits his majesty, and not in the way he doesn't mix with his creation, okay? That is an important aspect. I want you to understand that, please, okay? I also want to highlight a very interesting ayah, ayah number 20 from Surah Hadid. Never forget, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. Never forget that the life of this world is only a game and a passing delight, a show and mutual boasting and trying to outrival each other in riches and children. It's very interesting, very beautiful summary of life. Laib, it's play, right? Laib is playing and you know, whatnot. That's what kids do. That's all they want to do. They just want to play. Okay, lahwun is you know, passing. It's something that's entertaining, but not just necessarily games. It's going to be entertaining with talk. It can be entertaining with media. So that's the next stage of a child's life. Now they become from just playing with like anything that they find. They play with the ball here. They play with the mic here. They play with the garbage there. It goes from that to now entertaining themselves, you know, maybe with media, maybe with games and devices, maybe with other types of things they will entertain themselves. Okay. Wazina, the next stage of life is it becomes all about beauty. That's what the teenage years are. Everybody wants to make sure they don't have acne on their face. You know, they don't look, you know, unacceptable. It's all about Air Jordans and all that jazz. So this is zina. That's the next stage of life. وَتَفَاخُرُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ Next stage of life is boasting about what you are, like what your accomplishments are. I got into this university. I'm doing this. I'm going to be doing that. Okay. Then it's about takathurun fil amwal. The next stage of life is trying to outrival each other in riches. That's what the person spends their adulthood doing, gaining wealth, becoming richer so that they have more than they can tell people, this is my net worth, right? Wal awlad and children, trying to you know, have a beautiful house. When people come, they're like, wow, what a beautiful place you live in, right? This is what people, this is the journey of life. Nothing. Intricately, nothing wrong with that. I mean, in and of itself is not a problem. But if you are consumed by this, that is where the problem lies. That cannot be your purpose. Your purpose has to be سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ It should be vying with each other for your Lord's forgiveness and for paradise, as vast as heaven and earth, which has been made ready for those who believe in God and His messengers. Such is God's grace. He bestows it upon whoever He pleases. There is no limit to God's bounty. Okay? Meaning, we take whatever we can from this world. We enjoy whatever we enjoy. But the purpose of our lives is working for and building our house in the next life. And we should never lose sight of that. So the surah is a very beautiful reminder of that. Also in the surah, there's a very interesting passage that I want to share with you, inshallah. Okay? Ayah number 25. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ We sent our messengers with evidence. And with them, we send down the book and the scales of justice so that men might act in all fairness. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ Right? Allah sent the scripture, al-kitab, and al-mizan, the scales of justice. This is how as society we develop concepts of justice that are, you know, universal. Everybody understands, you know, it's unfair for people to, you know, lose their homes. It's unfair for people to get killed, right? It's unfair. These are just universal values, yes? But those universal values are mitigated or are corrected by the scripture. So lest they don't become subjective and they don't become, you know, oppressive, okay? This is Allah, how Allah has done things so people can live in fairness. Otherwise, it would be chaos. And then Allah says, we send down iron with its great inherent strength and its many benefits for mankind. This is, you know, enforcing of the law, right? The law is mentioned and then the enforcing of the law, Allah also mentions, this is what He enables human beings to do. Anzalna al-hadith is interesting. We've sent down iron because there's evidence that iron did not originate on the earth, okay? Unlike other metals and whatnot, that, like, for example, like oil or other materials, other minerals that form in the earth as, you know, as corpses decay and whatnot, iron did not form on the earth, and that's actually a prevalent opinion on the matter. And it seems like iron was, it was an asteroid that struck the earth that brought with it iron, and then, or maybe multiple asteroids, okay? Before there was, you know, people around the earth. So subhanAllah, these are theories of how, you know, we find materials and minerals. We don't know for a fact what it is. But, you know, the ayah actually lends alludes to that at least, right? And that's very interesting to notice that. So that God might know who would stand up for God, though unseen, and His messengers. God is all-powerful and almighty. Okay. Mentions that He has sent Noah and Ibrahim, okay? And that some of them were rightly guided, the people who followed Him, but many among them were transgressors. Then he mentions a very interesting passage, and this is the one I want to highlight to you. Ayah number 27. ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا. Then in their wake, we followed them up with others of our messengers. And after them, Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam. We gave him the gospel. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ. Injil is not exactly the gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Okay, that's the gospel according to Mark, or Matthew, or Luke, or John. That's according to them. That's not the original gospel that was given to Isa alayhi salam. The original gospel, remnants of it remain, unfortunately. Okay, but irrespective, what we know for a fact is Allah gave him the Injil, the gospel, the thing that brought good news, the thing that had wisdom. And what was the effect of the gospel on the people? وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. And we imbued the hearts of those who followed him with compassion and mercy. And this is the way it was from the earliest times of Christianity. Okay, that people who followed Isa al-Islam truly, even when they had mistakes, they had a remarkable compassion and mercy about themselves. Okay. And rahbaniya ibtada'uha. We did not prescribe monasticism for them. This is unique to the Christians. But Allah says we did not prescribe it for them. That was their own innovation by which they sought to please God. It's interesting. They had, you know, good intentions, but the action was kind of off. But the intentions were good. They wanted to please God through being, you know, monks and whatnot, like by secluding themselves from the life of the world. فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. But then they did not observe it the way they should have been observed. They didn't keep up the values that Isa alayhi salam taught them, that Jesus taught them. Okay, so Allah says, we rewarded only those who were truly faithful, for many of them were disobedient. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. This is a very interesting ayah. Again, I want you to keep this in mind. The Quran praises the people who did things right. And positive characteristics, even when we don't agree fully with the theology, right, of those who ascribe divinity to Isa. We absolutely reject that. We absolutely cannot, stand for that. But that doesn't mean that they don't have goodness in them. And this is something you might remember from Surah number 5, right? When the Quran describes the Christians, that they are, gentle and they're not arrogant, okay? And this is the same thing here. This is interesting because, there's a group of Christians that are extremely, they're the evangelical types. They're very rough. They're very difficult. And like I sit on interfaith panels, and when I find a Christian pastor who's not of that, I actually find him to be very easygoing. Right, and that's what the Quran mentions this from the beginning of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that this is the characteristics of these people. The interesting thing to notice is the Quran praises positive characteristics of people even when there are issues with their theology, and isn't afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not afraid to highlight the problems that are there as well. And also the statistics. Those who were believers, Allah gave them their good reward, but many, many of them were disobedient. Okay, so this is very, very important. So that is Surah Hadid. I just wanted to share that with you because that's a very unique passage. You will not find this kind of this passage in other parts of the Quran. And I try to make a point to highlight this to everybody. Okay. That is one. Now we have Surah number 58, Al Mujadila. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. God has indeed heard the words of the woman who pleads with you about her husband and lays her complaint before God. God hears what the two of you have to say. He is all hearing and all seeing. Who is this woman? Her name was Khawla bin Tha'laba. And her husband, his name was Aws ibn Samit. Okay, these two were married. They had issues. And the husband was being petty. So instead of divorcing his wife, he said, you know what? I'm not going to divorce you, but I'm not going to be intimate with you. You're like my mom to me. You're like my mother's back. I mean, like, just like I will never think about being intimate with my mother, I will not ever think about being intimate with you. This is torturous. This is a very, very disgusting thing to do in a family relationship. So Quran, this woman came to the Prophet and she wanted the Prophet Sallam to find her a solution. The Prophet Sallam couldn't see anything until ayah number 3 was revealed. Okay, those who want to do this, those who have said this, and now either you divorce and you go your separate way and she goes a separate way. Okay, number one. Or if you want to stay together, then there's a severe penalty for the terrible thing you said. What is the severe penalty? You equated them in this manner, like, you know, intimacy wise, equated them with your mother. That means you must set free a slave before the couple must touch one another. Meaning, before they get intimate again, before they move on with their lives, the man has to free a slave. And if you're not able to, then 2 months of consecutive fasting. Okay, this is specific to, by the way, not saying that, oh, you resemble my mother in like manners or whatever, right? This is saying you are just, I think of you, you know, in terms of intimacy, like I would think of my mother, right? Completely out of bounds. You can't do that to your wife. She is the one who you are to be intimate with. That is why this is such a terrible thing. And that's why the punishment is so severe. You said such a terrible thing. You're doing these things that are bad. You better make up for it by freeing a slave, right? The idea is it's like you took this lady's life and you put it in jeopardy. You give someone else a new lease on life because of that. Subhanallah. This is a very interesting thing. So this is, as you can see, as I told you, 3 parts here. Faith, family, community, right? This is the family part. The surah mentions issues that happen in family and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resolves that and gives instruction. And he says, don't do this. ذَلِكُمْ تُوَعَذُونَ بِهِ That is what Allah instructs you. Don't do that. Okay. There is the idea of, when it comes to community, let's go to community. The community, oops, sorry. The community, number 9, it says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَنَاجَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ O believers, when you confer together in private, do not confer in support of sin and transgression and disobedience to the messenger, but confer for the promotion of virtue and righteousness. This is specific to how the hypocrites would act, right? Ayah number 8 speaks about the hypocrites who were forbidden to have secret meetings to undermine the believers, but they will still do it. Okay, and when they would come to the messenger of Allah, they would say things that were inappropriate. And then they would wonder, لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ Why has not God punished us for what we say? Right? Why isn't there no punishment coming on upon us? Okay, we do these wrong things. We're not held accountable. What's up? Like, is this really, is he really a truthful person? See, we can get away with whatever we want, right? No. حَسْبُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ يَصْلَوْنَهَا Hell will be a fitting punishment for them. They will burn in its flames, a wretched fate. You are not going to be zapped in the world because you said something inappropriate about the Prophet ﷺ. But you will be held accountable in the next life. Okay? And that's what they're reminded of. And then Allah turns to the believers and says, you believers, don't be part of these kinds of discussions. And when you want to do like a meeting, you're having a private gathering, you don't want it to be public, do this on the basis of virtue and righteousness. Okay? Do not let private gatherings be a place where suspicions and sins are the agenda. The agenda should be righteousness and piety. And this is important for a community. The Quran mentions an accommodation. Ayah number 11. O believers. Again, it starts with, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O believers. إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ If you are told to make room for one another in your assemblies, do so. Then do so. God will make room for you. This requires humility, right? You're told to, make room. It requires, kindness, right? And accommodation. Do so, and Allah will accommodate for you. And now here's the interesting part. وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا If you are told to rise up, if you're told to get up and move, okay? You're sitting in a community gathering, like a masjid, and you're told, get up from here and move and go there, please. Okay? Fanshuzu, do so. Don't make it a matter that's your own, like your ego. Okay? You are humble in that moment. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. God will raise in rank those of you who believe and those who have been given knowledge. You demonstrate your knowledge and your faith by suppressing your ego, especially in that moment, that heated moment. You de-escalate, you suppress your ego at that time. Allah will raise you. He will raise you in the eyes of the people. You will not be humiliated. People will not think of you as weak and helpless. People will think you as courageous and very in control of your emotions. And Allah will raise you ranks in paradise. That's far better than anything else, because He is fully aware of what you do. This is a very interesting thing, because community has this friction that takes place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be humble. Allah will raise you. Allah will raise you in rank. Don't make a scene out of these things. This is so critical. Okay. People come to the masjid, they're told, hey brother, you can't pray here. They start to yell and scream, and they say, I donate to the masjid, and I do this to the masjid, and my dad did this to the masjid. Brother, no one cares what your dad did for the masjid. No one cares what you did for the masjid, honestly. You are told to follow the rules, you follow the rules. The Quran says that, right? Have some humility. Don't take it personally. Don't be the one who reminds others of their good deeds as a favor, as a leverage. Don't do that. You're wasting your good deeds. You're hurting yourself, nobody else. This is such a critical ayah to understand. Have humility. Otherwise, you are not going to function well as part of the community. Okay. Then, ayah number 14 speaks about betrayal in the community. Betrayal in the community is, unfortunately, a thing. For the people in Medina, it was a big deal, because the people who were pretending to be Muslims, the hypocrites, would go and betray the Muslims with their enemies. They're leaking out the plans of the Prophet ﷺ or his strategy. And as I mentioned before, even setting up a masjid to be like an outpost for the Byzantine Empire. So the ayah number 14 addresses that. Have you not seen those who have befriended a people who have brought down upon themselves the wrath of God? They are neither with you nor with them. And they wittingly swear to falsehood. Okay, this is specifically about the people of Medina who were hypocrites trying to make deals with the people of Medina who are Jews. Okay, both of them working together to undermine the Prophet, and they don't actually get along. They're not like friends or something. They're just, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's the reason why they're together. La mahum minkum, they're not with you, they're not from them either. This is what a terrible situation these people are in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, and He says, don't, ayah number 22, He says, people who, ayah number 22, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will find no believers in God and the last day consorting with those who oppose God and His messenger. Okay, يوادون, not just consorting, I think this is more like expressing love and, you know, like mutual respect or admiration for those who are having affection. That's a good one, right? For those who oppose Allah and His messenger, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or kindred. This is important. Meaning, what this ayah is talking about a communal betrayal. Easiest way to think about it is you look at what's happening in modern day politics. But for example, there are a host of nations that are Muslims that are signing allegiance, treaties and cooperation, terms with the state of Israel, while the state of Israel is actively oppressing the people of Palestine, taking their homes, taking their rights, going and destroying the masjid, ambushing the worshippers, right? The point is, how can you cut a deal with people who are doing this to your own fellow brethren in faith? How can you do that? In what good faith can you do this? And that shows that you're actually lacking the true understanding of faith by making these kind of allegiances. This is what this ayah is speaking about. The allegiances and the betrayal of the community as a whole. Not individually. If you are a Muslim and your parents are not Muslim, you're going to have an affection for them. Of course, you're supposed to have an affection for them. You're supposed to make dua for them. Okay, That's obviously given. This is talking about communal betrayal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You will not find a person who truly believes to be doing that. The one who does that has flaws in the way they understand faith, or their faith is extremely weak. Extremely weak. And this is what this ayah speaks about. Surah Mujadila. Surah 59. Surah Hashr. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa huwa al-azizu al-hakim. This is the second of the five musabbihat. Okay, this speaks about the challenges of living together. Surah Hashr speaks about the challenges of living together. The Muslims had a lot of confrontations with the Jewish community of Medina. And it was not because of religion. Because the Muslims and Christians, for example, in the other parts of the world after the time of the Prophet ﷺ lived fairly happily. The Muslims and the Zoroastrians, even Muslims and Jews later on, were able to live very, very comfortably. Like in Andalus, in Spain, the Jewish community actually started thriving after they were persecuted by the French and by by the French primarily, before they migrated to and lived under Muslim rule. And when the Spanish Inquisition happened, the Muslims got killed, the non-acceptable Christians got killed, and the Jews got killed. And those Jews went from Spain to Morocco and Algeria and sought refuge there. Okay, so historically, this is not a problem. But this is specific to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ, when he reached Medina, he signed a treaty with the Jewish tribes of Medina. Okay, and he said to them, okay, we are all living together. And what when we live together, we have to defend the city together. We are all in this together, right? So now, here is the terms. When we are attacked, we are all together. When in times of peace, you can live in your quarters. We live in our quarters. You implement your law. We implement our law. We don't have to pay any taxes to us. We won't pay any taxes to you. But when we're attacked, we unite to defend the city. Fair? Yes. All right. They all signed and agreed to that. All right. Now what happened? Now, then when the Medina was attacked by the people of Mecca, the people of Mecca attacked Medina, the Jewish community, and there were three communities, one of them is called Banu Nadir, they betrayed the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? It is he who turned those people of the book, Banu Nadir, who denied the truth out of their homes in the first banishment. The second banishment is the day of judgment when they all come together, okay? You never thought that they would go. And they thought that their strongholds would protect them against God. But God came upon them from where they least expected and cast such terror into their hearts that their houses were pulled down by their own hands as well as by the hands of the believers. Learn a lesson then, those who, of you who are endowed with insight. This is talking about the betrayal of Banu Nadir of the Muslim community, breaking of that pact, and led to, this is a long story in the seerah, but they broke the treaty with the Prophet sallam. They tried to assassinate him sallam, okay, in collaboration with the hypocrites. And when that happened, the Prophet said, the deal is off. You tried to assassinate me. I came to your quarters. I sat in your house and you're planning to kill me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel to tell the Prophet to leave. So that saved the Prophet sallam, and that was the end of the pact. And when the siege was laid upon them, they were told, okay, you have to leave, but whatever you can carry on your camels, you can take with you. And that's why they literally tore down their homes with their own hands, taking with them whatever they could, and they left the rest behind. And Allah says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Betrayal doesn't get you anything. Betrayal doesn't get you anything. Okay? Loyalty is what's going to get you things. Okay? Ayah number 8 speaks about loyalty. Okay? The people who came from Mecca, they're demonstrating loyalty to the Prophet. The people who are Medinans who accepted Islam, they're demonstrating loyalty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them both. Ayah number 8, he praises the people who came from Mecca, poor refugees driven from their homes and their possessions, desiring the favor of God and his supporting the God and his messenger. Okay, these are the truthful people. Then praises the people of Medina who hosted them, already settled in Medina, firmly rooted in faith. They love those who migrated to them for refuge, harbor no desire in their hearts for what has been given to the latter. They give them preference over themselves, even if they too are needy. And those who are saved from their own soul's greed are truly successful. Look at this beautiful example of what loyalty means. Okay, these are people, once faith has entered their hearts, it's firmly rooted, they're able to not just love for their brother what they love for themselves, they love for their brother more than what they love for themselves. That's the level of iman they reached. That's what the sahaba in Medina, those who were Medinan, indigenous Medinans, that's the level of iman they reached. Contrast that with like the Jewish community, contrast that with the betrayal of the Medinan hypocrites. Alam tara ila alladhina nafaqu, ayah number 11. They say to their disbelieving companions from among the people of the book, if you are driven out, we shall surely go out with you, and we will never listen to anyone against you. And if war is waged against you, we will help you. But Allah bears witness that they are liars, because when that happened, they will not go with them. And when there is a war, they will not be fighting. And even if they were to fight, they will run away at the first instance of adversity. Very, very, this is the challenge of living together in a difficult society. And that's what the Prophet was navigating. Okay, there's actually a very beautiful ayah here, ayah number 10. I want you to underline this in your Quran. This is a very beautiful dua. You should all learn this and make this dua. Okay, those who came into faith after them, they say, our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and leave no malice in our hearts towards those who believe. Lord, you are indeed compassionate and merciful. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. What a beautiful dua. The believers are all brothers and sisters, wherever they lived, whatever time they lived in. And this is a dua that we make, that the friction of living together as a believing community should not come in our hearts, should not cause us, should not rip us apart. So we ask Allah, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh Allah, leave no malice in our hearts towards those who believe, so that we don't act like the hypocrites, and we don't act like the betraying Banu Nadir tribe from the Jewish community either. Okay? The surah concludes with Allah's glorious names and a reminder of salvation. Okay, this is so that was community, right? Remember, there's three main things I want to highlight: the musabbihat, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, and then the main theme, which is faith, family, community. So that was community. Here is something about faith in this surah: ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Believers, fear God, and that every soul look to what it lays up for the future. Look at what you are preparing for your future. Your future, not your retirement fund. Your future in the next life. Fear God. God is aware of what you do. Don't be like those who forgot God. They forgot about Allah. They were too busy. They're too occupied. Or they were too careless. They were too, just living the life. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. What did Allah do? He caused them to forget their own souls. They forgot, Allah caused them to forget their purpose. And then their life was just you're rotating on this body of water around a flaming, heavenly body. That's what your life becomes. You're just going around it year after year after year until you die, right? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Really, the purpose has become forgotten. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They are the ones who are rebellious. Again, rebellion isn't just a person rejecting an ayah or being someone who betrays. That's a communal betrayal, yes? There's on a personal level, on a faith level, on a salvation level, rebelliousness or fisq, sinning, insistent sinning is actually being consumed by the pleasures of the world, forgetting about the purpose of life. Allah says, the people of the fire, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The people of the fire and the people of paradise are not equal. The people of paradise are the victorious ones. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ. had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, you would have certainly seen it falling down and splitting asunder. Because of the fear of God, we set these parables to men to so that they may reflect. The Quran is so heavy that if it was revealed on a mountain, heavy in the sense of the what it carries as a message, the mountain, if it was to feel its weight, would crumble. What about the rest of us, our hearts? Shouldn't they be humbled by the reminder of this Quran? Shouldn't we be inspired to look at our lives, take stock of it, and start to rectify for our future? Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. He is God. There is no deity but Him. That He knows the unseen and the visible. He's the compassionate, the merciful. Ayah number 22 to the end lists some of the most beautiful names of Allah. Allah, He is the only one worthy of worship. Alimul Ghayb. He knows the unseen, was shahada, and the visible. He is Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. He is Allah, la ilaha illahu. There is no deity worthy of worship but Him. He is the only one worthy of worship. Al-Malik, the sovereign, the king. Al-Quddus, the most pure, the most holy. As-Salam, the source of peace. Al-Muhaymin, the granter of security. Al-Aziz, the protector. Al-Jabbar, the mighty. Al-Azizu Al-Jabbar, Al-Muhaymin is the protector, excuse me. The Al-Jabbar, the mighty, the subduer. Al-Mutakabbir, the supreme. Okay, there's too many adjectives here. Let me retranslate for you. Okay. Al-Malik, the king. Al-Quddus, the holy. As-Salam, the source of peace. Al-Mu'min, the one who grants peace and security. Al-Muhaymin, the one who protects us. Al-Aziz, the one who is ultimately mighty. Al-Jabbar, who is the dominant, cannot be dominated. He is the one who dominates. Al-Mutakabbir, the one who is the supreme. He is supreme. Okay, Subhanallah, amma yushrikun. Allah is far above what they associate with Him. Who Allah, He is Allah. Al-Khaliq, the creator. Al-Bari', the originator, meaning into bringing into existence something that never existed before. Al-Khaliq is someone who continues to create all different types of things. Al-Musawwir, the one who gives form. Our forms, the form of the world, everything. Lahu al-asma'ul husna, He has the most excellent names. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and the earth declares His glory. He is the mighty and wise. Very beautiful surah. Next is Surah Mumtahina, surah number 60. Surah Mumtahina's theme is mistakes happen. Look at this, people. It speaks about community. And again, betrayal of the community by this time an individual. But this individual is not a hypocrite. He is not a disbeliever. He is a faithful believer. Who is this person? His name is Hatib ibn Abi Balta' radiallahu anhu. His name is Hatib. Okay. Hatib was a poor man from Mecca. And Hatib, as a poor man from Mecca, was afraid for his family when he left them in Mecca and came to Medina. So what he did is he made a deal with the people of Quraysh when he left Mecca and came to Medina. He said, I will tell you if the Prophet is about to come from Medina to Mecca to attack you. I will tell you. That's all he wanted. That was the extent of his deal. But then the other side of the deal is, don't harm my family. Okay. Now, this is a betrayal. This is a clear betrayal. You are compromising the Prophet ﷺ and putting the lives of so many people at risk just to save the life of your family. This is not the way to do things. You have to figure out other ways if you want to. You cannot make these kind of deals. This was unacceptable. But Hatib was a great Sahabi in the sense that he was an early believer. He fought in the Battle of Badr. He fought in the Battle of Uhud. All these battles he was part of. But yet he made this fatal error. But look at how Allah corrects his mistakes. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. Do not offer friendship to those who are enemies of mine and yours. Don't offer them friendship. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not singling out Hatib. It's only one person who made that mistake, but Allah is addressing all believers. Yes, this is beautiful because you don't want to single him out so he becomes defensive. If I didn't tell you the background, you wouldn't even know his name. right? If he didn't read it in the books of tafsir, we wouldn't know who that person was. That's the beauty. The Quran covered his flaws so perfectly, right? But the change took place. Would you show them affection when they rejected the truth you have received, when they have driven you and your messenger and the messenger out of your homes simply because you believe in God, your Lord, right? How could you extend your affection and friendship, and how could you cut deals with people who kicked you out of your homes because of your faith? This is this element of betrayal. It's unacceptable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that and corrects that mistakes. But community also speaks about not everybody's going to kick you out of your home who's not a Muslim, who's not a believer, right? There are people who are non-Muslims who are good people, the vast majority of them. So how do you deal with them? لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ Ayah number 8. God does not forbid you to deal kindly and justly with anyone who has not fought you on account of your faith or driven you out of your homes, right? They have not fought you, they have not killed you, they have not expelled you because of your faith. If that's not the case, you have to be kind to them. You have to be just with them. In fact, antabarruhum, the word bir is used for righteousness. You remember the word I spoke about, bir? It's like from the word bar, which is landscape, right? All different types of lands, all different types of lands you find, you have trees and forests and mountains and deserts, subhanAllah, right? So bir is all different kinds of goodness. That's the same word Allah uses for parents. That's the same word He uses to talk about righteousness. That's the same word He uses to talk about non-Muslims who you don't have a problem with because they didn't kick you out of your homes. They didn't fight you based on your faith. They are just non-Muslims. So you have to be, the same word bir is used when it comes to dealing with them. That level of kindness is to be extended. وَتُخْسِتُ And if you can't extend the level of kindness to them, at least be just. That's the bare minimum, right? Be just, because Allah loves those who are just. The only people that you are barred from extending affection and love to are the oppressors who قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ They fought against you on account of your faith, وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ and drove you out of your homes, or helped others to do so. وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ This is the thing. What kind of dignity will you have left if you make friends with your oppressor and you shake their hands and you kiss their hands? What dignity do you have left, right? And that's what the Quran speaks about. So community betrayal here is mentioned in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that. Don't betray, oh Hathib, don't betray the believers, okay? And then at the same time, there's others who are, like the non-Muslims who are not on the opposing side, they're just non-Muslims. You can be kind, you can be just, you can be good to them. And that is something that is required as part of our faith. Justice at the minimum, kindness and gentleness and goodness, all of that is recommended above that, okay? Notice how nicely the mistake was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's something to notice. When it comes to this name, the surah Mumtahina, this is from this ayah number 10. Famtahinuhun. This is talking about believing women who fled Makkah coming to Medina. The Prophet was told to verify that they're true believing women. If they are true believing women, then don't send them back to the people of Makkah because they're not allowed to be in that marriage with them. They are to stay with the believing men in Medina afterwards. Okay, so this is ayah number 60 that speaks about, surah number 60 that speaks about that. Surah number 61 is Surah As-Saff. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ This is the third of our five musabbihat. The third of the five that begins with sabbaha. Okay, this is a very beautiful surah. This surah's theme is, O believers, be the helpers of Allah. Your faith and your community and your family, the collaboration of it should make you helpers of Allah. Okay, don't be like those who say one thing and do the other. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Don't preach and not practice. Don't say something and do the opposite. That is a terrible character flaw. My daughter is also giving a speech here, mashallah. كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. It is most hateful to God that you not practice what you preach. You see how stern the words are. Okay? If you want to be a helper of God, if you want your faith and family and community to fuse in this beautiful way, and that's an excellent life you're living, start with practicing what you preach. Okay? That's what you start with. It speaks about Musa and Isa, how Musa alayhi salam had to face all types of grief from Bani Israel. And Isa also had to face all types of grief from Bani Israel. That is not being the helpers of Allah. It's not being the helpers of Allah. This is actually a very interesting ayah, number 6. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. O children of Israel, I am sent to you by God, confirming the Torah that came before me, and bringing the good news of a messenger before me. مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدْ, whose name will be Ahmad. This was the nickname of the Prophet ﷺ. He was called Muhammad and Ahmad because they were similar root letters. Okay, or exactly the same root letters. Yet when he came to them with clear signs, they said, this is merely sorcery. So they rejected Isa alayhi salam, even though he was clearly a messenger of God. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah advises us to do something that's profitable. Shall I guide you to a profitable course of action that will save you from a painful punishment? You believe in God and His Messenger, and you strive for God's cause with your possessions and your lives. That will be better for you if you only knew. He will forgive your sins and admit you into gardens with rivers flowing under them. He will lodge you in fine dwellings in the gardens of eternity. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is indeed the supreme achievement. And He will give you something that you, other types of things that you desire. نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. Help from God and imminent victory. Give good news to the believers. If you believe in Allah and you become a helper of Allah, you are trying your best to do what you can. You do so by helping financially. You do so by helping with your lives, your time. You volunteer your time. You donate your money. That is a successful transaction because Allah will forgive your sins, enter you into paradise, give you happiness in the next life, happiness in this life. O you who believe, ayah number 14. Kunu ansar Allah, be the God's helpers. As Jesus, son of Mary, said to the disciples, Man ansari ilallah, who will be my helpers in the cause of God? The disciples said, Nahnu ansarullah, we shall be God's helpers. فَآمَنَ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. So some of the children of Israel believed in him. وَكَفَرَ الطَّائِفَةٌ, and some denied the truth. فَأَيَّدْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ. So we helped those, we supported the believers against the enemies, and they triumphed over them. This is just like Isa, just like the disciples of Isa were his helpers. O you believers, also be the helpers of God. Surah number 62 is our fourth of our five musabbihat. Yes, and Surah 62 speaks about, again, like I said, faith, family, and community. Those are three things that all of these things keep running through these Madinan surahs in this juz. These three aspects keep appearing in these Madinan surahs in this juz. What is the theme of this surah? The theme of this surah is knowledge without actions is useless. If you just talk, and you don't implement, or you learn but you don't become better, that's actually not valuable at all. It begins with the Yusabbihu Lillah, right? But look at what it says. He has raised among the unlettered people a messenger from among themselves who recites his revelations to them, purifies them, and teaches them the book and wisdom. And for they had formerly been clearly been misguided. He also has sent the messenger to others from among them who have not yet joined them. Okay, this is talking about the rest of us. The Sahaba, of course, saw the Prophet ﷺ, and he was from their ethnicity. He spoke their language. But look at what the Prophet did. Four things. He recited the Quran, revelation. He purified them, you know, spiritually and physically. He taught them the book and taught them wisdom. And that is what he teaches to everybody, irrespective of the time, irrespective of the place, irrespective of the language. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ He is the mighty and wise. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ That is God's grace. He bestows it upon whom he pleases. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمُ For God is limitless in his grace. You ask him for his grace, he will give it to you. And he will make you a follower of his prophet. And he will give you the purification of the soul, the knowledge of the book, the knowledge of the wisdom, the purpose in life, the happiness in this world, salvation in the akhirah. All of that is available to everybody, but a person has to ask it and want it. Knowledge without action, the example of this is like a donkey carrying a load of books. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارَ means a donkey here, okay? Okay, if a donkey is carrying books, are the books benefiting the donkey? No, of course not. This is not to say, by the way, that the people who are Jews are donkeys. That's a very poor logical understanding of analogies, okay? Because you've taken the analogy and taken the image of the analogy and applied it to the person that you're trying to make a parallel with. You've equated the two. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equating the attitude of the Jewish community who were charged to carry the Torah, live the Torah, understand it, practice it, uphold it. The analogy is being drawn between their attitude and the situation of a donkey carrying books. A donkey carrying books is not going to make the donkey any better. He could carry the greatest books in the world. That's not going to somehow seep into him and he will know it. And now the donkey becomes, wise and whatnot. He will just be carrying them. That's the same example of somebody who is burdened with the knowledge of scripture, but doesn't put it into action. Just carrying books around, it's more like a burden than anything else. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out. And this is a critique of the Jewish community, but it's also a mirror for the rest of us. That's the faith. You want to put your faith into action, then firstly, understand, and then secondly, practice. Okay? A mistake made by the Sahaba. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salah. Believers, when the call to prayer is made on the day of congregation, on Jum'ah, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Then hasten to the remembrance of God. Leave all worldly commerce. This is for your own good, if you but knew it. When the prayer is ended, disperse in the land and seek to obtain something of God's bounty. And remember God much so that you may prosper. When they see some merchandise or entertainment, they break away to go to it and leave you standing. What is this talking about? Firstly, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, O you who believe, here is what you need to do. When it's time for Jum'ah, stop business, stop trading, come to the prayer. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ The remembrance of God. The Jum'ah prayer is supposed to remind you of Allah. Leave all commerce, leave all business, leave it all. Okay? That's for your own good. This was not done by the Sahaba. In an instance, okay, what happened is that the Prophet ﷺ was giving a khutbah once, and a qadimat eerul Madina, a caravan came to Medina carrying supplies, and when a caravan would come, you would go and buy what you need to buy. So the people who were in attendance were worried that they will lose out on buying things. Yes, so they quickly got up from the Jum'ah, went and started buying the things they needed to buy before someone else bought it. Okay. And they left the Prophet ﷺ standing on the minbar and speaking to basically an empty room. فَخَرَجَ النَّاسُ وَبَقِيَ إِثْنَا عَشَرَ رَجُلًا There was only 12 people left behind. The rest, entire mosque evacuated and left. The Prophet ﷺ is standing there giving khutbah. Can you imagine? That was what happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects this. Firstly by saying, here is the ruling. Don't do anything when Jum'ah has started. You come to the prayer and you come into the remembrance of God. Okay, but once the prayer is done, you're not held back. Go and seek your bounty. Go and do your business that you have to do. But as you're doing that, as you're seeking your livelihood, don't forget about Allah, right? وَاذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Still remember God and His favor. That is what will bring you success and prosperity in this life and the next. And then Allah addresses the mistake of the Sahaba, that they left you standing. This was unacceptable. They shouldn't have done that. So remind them, قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Say that which God has in store is better than any merchandise or entertainment. God is the most munificent giver. Allahu khayrul raziqin. He is the one who gives the best risk. The best provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry. Allah is the best provider. He will provide for you. Okay? So this is an excellent way how beautifully Allah corrects the mistake of the Sahaba here. وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَ. Okay? So this is surah number 62. Surah 63 is Al-Munafiqun, the hypocrites. The hypocrites, when they come to you, they say, we bear witness that you are indeed the messenger of God. God knows that you are indeed His messenger, but God bears witness that the hypocrites are surely liars. They use their oaths as a cover, as a ruse. They say, we believe, but I swear by Allah, I believe in you. I swear. They're loud. They're trying to misdirect. They're hollow from the inside. So they make a lot of noise so that maybe you forget that they're empty. Okay? But they are the ones who bar others from the way of God. They are truly evil. These are people who are, like I said, they're specifically talking about people in Medina who were disbelievers while pretending to be believers. Okay? That's what Allah says about them. They believed and then rejected their faith. Their hearts are sealed up, so they are devoid of understanding. Okay? But the lesson here is there's a danger of pretentiousness. Someone being all talk and no action. It ties in very beautifully with the previous surah, which was about put your knowledge into action. Okay? This one is like, these are the people who are pretentious. That is what ends up happening to them. Okay? This surah speaks about the warning to people who are all talk and no action, not to be like that. It says, look, O believers, ayah number 9, do not let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of God. Those who do so will be losers. وَأَنْفِقُوا, spend out of what we have provided you before death comes to you. And he says, my Lord, if you only were to grant me respite for a little while, I would give alms and I would be among the righteous. وَلَنْ يُوَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. But God will not grant a reprieve to a soul when its appointed time has come, because he is well aware of what you do. This is the idea. A person's actions, they are the ones that determine their end. And when a person is dying, all they would wish for is just a few moments so they can go back and do some good. And specifically, the good of spending for the sake of Allah and helping somebody who's in need, that is what they will wish for. And that is what Surah Munafiqun addresses at the end. Speaking about the specific hypocrites of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but generally at the end, the reminder for the believer is, do not let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of God. Don't get caught up in the pleasures of this life, the ups and downs of this life. Don't be like the hypocrites. Surah number 64, At-Taghabun. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. All that is in the heavens and on the earth extols the glory of God, and to Him belongs all the kingdom. This is the fifth of the five مُسَبِّحَات. Okay, look at what this ayah says. Ayah number 8. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Faith. Believe then in God and His Messenger. وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. And in the light that we have sent down. The Qur'an is a light. The revelation is a light. It illuminates us. Allah knows what you are doing. It talks about faith. Ayah number 11. Okay. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No affliction can befall man, but by God's permission, He guides the hearts of those who believe in Him. God has knowledge of all things. Whenever something good happens, whenever something bad happens, people, that is from Allah. We accept His decree. We accept that there is wisdom in what He does. Even if we don't see it, we are patient until we see it. We make dua that Allah, yu'min billah. When you believe that, when you believe in this, يهدي قلب الله, guides your heart, gives you the strength, gives you, you know, consoles you to bear the difficulty. Subhanallah. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Difficulties in life should not stop you from practicing your faith. Continue to obey God and obey the messenger. But if you turn away, remember the messenger is only responsible for clearly conveying the message. His job is to convey the message and nothing more. His job is not to change your minds. His job is not to change your actions. You have to change yourselves. And that is what the messenger does. So understand, as part of faith, difficulties will come. Don't let those difficulties make you forget that Allah is the one who is in charge, who sent this. Believe in that, accept there is wisdom, be patient, and Allah will guide your heart and make things better for you. Okay, it speaks about family. Ayah number 14. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Believers, even among your wives and your children, you have enemies. Not that they're like literal enemies, but they could distract you, or they could become a source of difficulty for you if they are asking you to do things that contradict the principles of and tenets of faith. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. So be aware of that. But if you overlook and forgive and pardon, then surely God is forgiving and merciful. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Subhanallah. Forgiving and overlooking and forgiving. Right? This is how we deal with family. This is how we're taught to deal with family in the Quran. They are going to say things, do things, demand things that are going to be very difficult. But be gentle, be forgiving, overlook. Don't keep like a note of like a tally of offenses. That doesn't do any good. Okay, your wealth and your children are only a trial, but Allah's reward is great. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Be mindful of God as best as you can. Try your best. Listen to what is being said from the message. Obey of that message. And وَأَنْفِقُوا. Spend in charity. Spend on your family. Spend in charity. خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. It is for your own good. Whoever is whoever guards themselves against their own greed will surely prosper. If you were to give a goodly loan to God, this is charity. It's like you're giving a loan to Allah. He will return it and multiply it for you, because Allah is appreciative and He is forgiving. عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز والحكيم. He is the knower of the unseen and the seen, the Almighty and All-Wise. Inshallah, the other two surahs are quite... I don't want to shortchange you on the other two surahs today, Surah Talaq and Tahrim. We'll cover them tomorrow, inshallah. And inshallah, we'll go from there. إذن الله تعالى. جزاكم الله خير, everybody, for coming out. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, for Juz'a Day. A quick reminder about this survey. Please fill it out, inshallah ta'ala. That will be much, much appreciated. And Sister Laura, here is the link to the ayat of the Quran that mentioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Okay? Jazakum Allah khairan. Thank you very much. I'll see you all tomorrow. Same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.